Sermon podcasts come to you from Christ Church Cathedral in the Anglican Diocese of Fredericton in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. This is a version of a sermon delivered by the Dean of Fredericton, Jeffrey Hall, on the transferred Feast of the Epiphany of the Lord, January 5th, 2025, entitled Children of God. Listen to podcasts by visiting the Watch and Listen tab on our website at christchurchcathedral.com. Search Christ Church Cathedral Fredericton podcasts on the web, or find us listed on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, TuneIn Radio, or Podchaser podcasts. Subscribe using your favorite podcatcher.
St. Paul said, "This grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God." Plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. Today is the second Sunday after Christmas. January the 6th is Epiphany. But Epiphany is not a movable feast. That is, it doesn't tend to move around. So it doesn't land on a Sunday very often. And for that reason, sometimes the church is a little lenient with the calendar and allows the Epiphany to slip and slide around a little bit. So this morning, Epiphany has slipped in to this Sunday celebration. What makes the Epiphany deserve investing a Sunday in it? Well, I kind of think it's quite important in terms of that whole Christmas narrative. I might suggest that its message is one that deserves our undivided attention far more than once every 6 years. We often quickly gloss over its more traditional title, the Epiphany of the Lord, or the Manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. The Manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. This is not about Jesus being revealed to the Jews. This is not about the Jews recognizing in Jesus the Christ. The primary audience of Matthew's gospel. But it's about his manifestation, his revealing to the Gentiles. And that's important. Epiphany is actually not just a day. It's a season in the Christian calendar year. The Bible will read for the next several Sundays would have us review a long list of epiphanies. The star that led wise men to Jesus was but the first of that list. Manifestations, showing forth, revealing what is hidden of a yet invisible kingship of the one born Emmanuel, God with us. And so that list includes baptism, water changed to wine, healing, teaching, temple prophecies, an amazing catch of fish, curing of evil spirits, and the list goes on and on and on. So we enter a whole season of epiphanies, ways in which Jesus the Christ is revealed. So why is the revealing, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles important? Well, it's strange, isn't it? For a long time, the church has often been seen by those outside of it, and not infrequently by even a good many folks inside of the church, as being kind of an exclusive club. Too often it all comes down to who's in and who's out. Down through the pages of history, popes and other religious leaders have used their power to keep out or throw out those who they didn't care for politically or personally. Excommunications, shunnings, crusades, scarlet letters, all have been ways in which the church made it clear who was and who is in the spiritual pecking order and where in that order they belonged. So, you know, what should shock us, but I doubt it hardly does, unfortunately, is that the Epiphany is about Christ being revealed to the Gentiles. That is, those outside of the then religious establishment. Human nature is guided by tribal tendencies. We are, by our very nature, tribal. And we like it that way. We tend to hang with people who look like us, think like us, vote the way we do, earn about the same amount of money as we do. So when we look around our church, we expect to see people similar to what we see when we look in the mirror. People who are like us, family. And that's not always a bad thing. But you probably haven't spent a whole lot of time in the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The first chapter. We read from the second chapter today. It's Matthew's dry rendition of the genealogy of Jesus. And it's one of those parts of the Bible that we kind of get started on and then just sort of slip on over and get to the next, get to what's really important. The other Gospels and their writers spend no time on those details. But Matthew's goal was to make the ancestral connections in his Jewish family. It was all about showing how Jesus is the one from the Davidic line of whom the prophets spoke. I somehow doubt that it's as historically accurate as it could be. But what's very interesting is who all these people are that Matthew lists in the ancestry of Jesus. Among them, four foreign-born women, three with dubious sexual pasts. Our named or hinted at in that genealogy, as Matthew's none too subtle way of reminding his mostly Jewish readers that the family that produced the Messiah had itself been far more diverse than most people wanted to admit. Let's just say there were plenty of skeletons in the family closet. Matthew hinted all along that God was up to something much bigger than just saving a whole bunch of people who looked and acted and thought exactly alike. Near the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus instructs his disciples to go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Who? All nations. The gospel, the good news, is that God wants all he has made, regardless of race, creed, language, tribe, everyone reclaimed, saved, redeemed, invited home to live with him forever. And that's a radical message to give to a people who, for generations, were Hebrew, God's chosen people of Israel. The Epiphany celebrates the Hebrew Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, revealed to the Gentiles. Emmanuel, prophesied to be God with us, Matthew radically changes the definition of the us. Or perhaps Jesus did that. The us includes all who God considers children, all whom he has made, all nations, all who are children of God. We sometimes like to make a lot about the exclusive character of the gospel. I've had people fly off the handle with me after a sermon quoting Jesus when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." How could I dare to suggest that those of other religions are somehow excluded from the ever-loving grace of the God we proclaim? That's a good question. I just try to remind them that it wasn't me that said it. Surely the manifestation to the Gentiles is about an enormously gracious and open invitation. Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." He doesn't say, "Come to me, all ye who believe anything or nothing." It matters not who or what you call God, or what you value most in your life. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one born in Bethlehem opens his arms wide on a cross to a world perishing. No one is forced to receive him. The Christmas gospel should still be echoing in our minds. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power. Power to become children of God.
Christ Church Cathedral is located at the corner of Church and Brunswick Streets in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We're always pleased to welcome visitors and guests. For information on programs and worship times, visit ChristChurchCathedral.com. Send us a message by email at office@ChristChurchCathedral.com. Or contact the church office by phone Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 noon, at 506-450-8500. We'd be pleased to have you visit.